Hey, I'm Vermont Edition producer Daniela Fierro. The podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Enjoy.
Healthcare costs and access to care are a top concern for people in our region. How do we know? Well, as part of Vermont Public Citizens Agenda approach to the 2024 elections, we've been asking you to tell us what issues matter to you most this election cycle. Healthcare has been in the top five. Costs are going up, and the problem doesn't seem to be going away. Last week, the Green Mountain Care Board approved increases to premiums for two health insurance companies. Rates for individuals will go up between 14 and nearly 20% and between 11 and nearly 23% for small businesses. In a bit, we'll be joined by the chair of the Green Mountain Care Board, as well as a longtime healthcare advocate with Vermont Legal Aid. Our first guest today is Vermont Public Reporter Lexi Krupp, who has been following this news about the Green Mountain Care Board rate increases. Lexi, welcome.
Thank you.
So who exactly does this increase affect?
Okay, so this is for people who purchase health insurance on the state's marketplace. That's called Vermont Health Connect. That's more than 70,000 people in the state. And they get who get their insurance either through Blue Cross Blue Shield of Vermont or MVP Healthcare. Those are the two insurers who offer plans on the state marketplace. And that's for people who do not get insurance through their jobs and people who don't qualify for Medicaid or Medicare. So people under 65, above a certain income level, who work for themselves. You're a freelancer or an independent contractor, typically. And just to say off the top, for most of the people who get their insurance this way, you're the price of your healthcare, health insurance plans are not going to go up anywhere close to these rates that you mentioned at the top. Okay. There's a lot of federal subsidies available to cover these costs, and that are like, there are more federal subsidies that are going to be available next year. So a lot of these big increases that we're talking about, that's going to be picked up. That bill is going to be picked up by the federal government.
Okay, so when we hear like a 22% increase, that's not exactly what's going to be hitting your budget. So everyone, take a deep breath.
Yes,
it's
yes.
Serious, but perhaps not dire.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of us get our health insurance through our employers, like we do here at Vermont Public. Does this rate hike affect lots of businesses too?
Yes. So if you are a small business with under 100 employees and you get your health insurance or you get health insurance through your employees through the state's marketplace, you are definitely impacted by this. And that's a group a lot of people are worried about because businesses do not qualify for these subsidies I was just talking about. So individuals, okay, there are these big rate increases, but you're going to have these subsidies. You know, most people, 9 out of 10 Vermonters, are not going to pay these full increases. Businesses, on the other hand, they are on the hook for this big price tag jump. So those increases are anywhere between 11% and 23%, depending on the health insurance company. That's either Blue Cross Blue Shield of Vermont or MVP.
Okay. So we've gotten, as you can expect, Lexi, so many questions from listeners ahead of today's show already about these increases and just general concerns about the cost of healthcare. I want to read one for you now from a listener named Richard, who writes, "It seems like there are just so many factors driving these costs that it's hard to figure out how to address them. The toolbox available to manage the costs seems very limited." Lexi, can you help us address Richard's concern here? What's the reasoning behind these rate hikes?
Yeah, I spoke with Jared Ortaliza about this. He studies the Affordable Care Act at KFF, which is a national health policy research and news organization. And here's what he said.
Insurers in Vermont, when they cite their reasons for why they're increasing their rates, they're mentioning the rising cost of healthcare as well as people using more healthcare services. This is not a unique factor to Vermont. In fact, other insurers in other states are seeing these rising costs as contributing to their rising premiums.
So a lot of those rising healthcare costs are driven by drug prices and by hospital services. So when we think about drug prices, a lot of insurance companies are saying there's these newer, more expensive class of drugs to treat diabetes and obesity, like Ozempic, but sort of newer classes of drugs and that, and along with them, sort of other specialty drugs, where they're just saying these increases are, they're expecting to be like closer to 15% next year than what they would typically expect. And then this other piece driving a lot of healthcare costs is hospitals are just charging a lot more for the care they provide in recent years. Some of that's, you know, related to a lot of things we see in Vermont. Labor costs are going up because of housing costs going up and medical inflation, which is a little bit different than some of the other inflation we're thinking about. But
and most hospitals in Vermont are operating in the red right now too, which is something we'll get into a little bit later.
Yeah. And you know, part of that is sort of the decisions hospitals are making on how to spend their money. But to get to Richard's question, you know, with like a big problem with our system right now is that there are a lot of these burdens fall on people covered by commercial insurance, because Medicare and Medicaid are not really paying hospitals more. So hospitals are saying, you know, we don't really have any other way to cover our costs beyond raising prices for commercial insurers.
So it seems like at every step in this process, people are saying we don't have the money that we need, from hospitals to health insurance providers to individuals who need care to doctors. And speaking of doctors, we got an email from a physician named Denise in Williston ahead of today's show. And here's what Denise wrote to us. Last year, physicians saw a 3% increase in reimbursements that barely covers staff raises to keep pace with cost of living increases and the increased cost of supplies. In 2025, we will pay 22% more for Blue Cross Blue Shield, but that same company will maybe reimburse us 3% for my services, 3% more for my services. It's not surprising that Vermont is seeing fewer physicians coming here to practice. So, Lexi, yeah, that's difficult math there. Denise is pointing out that the amount that she has to pay for health insurance for herself and her staff is going up, but the amount that she's getting reimbursed to provide health care isn't going up enough to help her cover those costs of doing business. It seems like physicians in private practice are in a really tough spot.
Yeah. And, you know, she's in this like sort of perfect storm of being hit on both sides, right? Because she's a small business who has to pay these big increases. And then, yeah, not being reimbursed a whole lot more. So it's like, what gives here? I think, you know, something that was really helpful for me to understand this is insurance companies are just paying a lot more in claims. So Owen Foster at the Crean Mountain Care Board, who we'll hear from later, he gave me some numbers from Blue Cross Blue Shield that Denise referenced, and he was saying that in 2022 that company paid almost $300 million in claims. And then last year, so $300 million in 2022. Last year, they paid almost $400 million in claims. So going up like a huge amount. So they're just spending a lot more money. And again, they need a way to bring in more money. And the way they're doing that is raising rates. So it's really this question of like, who is going to pay for our healthcare costs in the state? And right now, it's people who are paying for their health insurance.
Yeah. Well, if you have questions about what we're discussing today, the increases in premiums that some Vermonters are going to be seeing, as well as some Vermont small businesses, give us a call at 800-639-2211. Vermont Public Reporter Lexi Krepp, one thing that writer mentioned to us, Denise, in her email, stuck out to me. Denise said, where is it here, that it's not surprising to her that Vermont has seen fewer physicians coming here to practice. And that made me wonder, is this a Vermont-specific issue, or is this happening all across the country? Like, how do these price increases here compare to what we're seeing in other states?
So prices are going up across the country, but not as much as here. The median increase in this type of health insurance plan. So offered on these like state marketplaces. So it's like an easy thing to compare to. That median increase is 7%. Last year, that median increase was 6%. So prices across the country, they are generally going up. But in Vermont, those price increases are way more dramatic.
Well, Lexi, before we let you go, any threads that you haven't yet been able to untangle with this, or any areas for future reporting that you're curious to follow?
Yeah, I think something that I've heard a lot is about hospital hospital spending and hospital costs. And so right now we're in this season of hospitals asking the Green Mountain Care Board to approve their budgets for next year. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there and how hospitals are saying that they're going to try to keep their costs under control.
Lexi Krupp with Vermont Public, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We are joined now by two additional guests. Mike Fisher is the Chief Healthcare Advocate for Vermont Legal Aid. He's been on the show before. And Mike, we're glad to have you back in the studio.
Hello, good afternoon. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. We are also joined on the line by Owen Foster, the Chair of the Green Mountain Care Board. Governor Phil Scott appointed him to the role in 2022. Owen, welcome.
Thank you, Michaela. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad you're here. Mike, let's start with you. We just got a general overview of the situation from our reporter, Lexi Krupp. You were listening in from the other room. Anything else to add to help us kind of set the stage for the conversation we're going to have today?
Well, let me just start by saying who I am and where I come from.
Sure.
So I am the healthcare advocate, position defined in state statute and an office defined. And so we run a helpline. So you're going to hear things today that you might think, does this apply to me, or how does this apply to me, or what am I supposed to do about it? And so we run a helpline. I'm going to give you the number.
Do it.
800-917-7787. And it's available to all Vermonters who have questions about health care, health access, who are bumping into something that's not working quite right for them.
We love a 800 number here on Vermont Edition. Yes. anything else that you want folks to know as we set the stage for this complicated conversation.
I just to recognize it's complicated. I think I may repeat some of what Lexi just covered just to make sure it sort of gets into people's heads. And then also to recognize, I'm sorry, we're going to tell people stuff about things that they can't do anything about right now. But in mid-November, when the open enrollment period comes, is when people are going to have an opportunity. And I sure hope we have an opportunity to revisit some of this discussion in that timeline so people can understand sort of what are their options.
Yeah. And Owen, could you give us a sense of how this process works? I mean, the choice in front of Green Mountain Care Board, it seems to me, was a really, really difficult one. Either you approve these huge rate hikes or an insurer could go bankrupt. Is that right?
Yeah. And just to remind people what the Green Mountain Care Board does, yeah, we review just the qualified health care plans that are offered by Blue Cross and MVP on the insurance side. Then we regulate hospital budgets and the ACO. And so this process of rate review for QHPs looks at the requests, looks at the underlying costs, the administrative costs, and we have to make decisions as to whether or not the rate increases requested should be approved. And I think you summarized it pretty well. Where the reserves were and where Blue Cross was financially was facing insolvency. And that was a big driver of my decision, the board's decision to approve extremely high rates this year.
Well, let's take some questions from callers. We have Emily on the line in South Burlington. Emily, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have Blue Cross Blue Shield through Vermont Health Connect and have had for many years now. And one of the justifications that the Green Mountain Care Board gave this year, and I think last year also, for hugely hiking the premium rates was the federal subsidies are going up. They're going up. How much are federal subsidies going up for 2025? And what about, I know that there are some people in the state who price out of the state subsidy entirely and don't get much federal subsidy either. What about those folks?
Mike, I'm going to turn this one to you.
So this is thank you, Emily, for the question. It's sort of right on target for what I was talking about a minute ago. So if you got subsidies this year, if you don't have an offer of employer-sponsored insurance, if you don't get your insurance through your small employer and you buy directly through Vermont Health Connect and you got subsidies this year, then we are expecting the subsidies to get to go up. People are going to have to pay less premiums, often less premiums. And in many cases, people are going to be able to get into a richer plan, a plan that has lower out-of-pocket costs. So that's the bright spot, that we have been able to organize our healthcare structure in a way that works better with the federal government, boosting the subsidies, boosting the supports that the federal government makes available, and making at least the cost of coverage a little bit more affordable. I'm not going to tell you it solves the problem. I don't want to oversell it. But it is a bright spot. Despite the very high rates, we think that many Vermonters are going to be experiencing lower costs. Mm.
We got a question from Donna in South Burlington, who writes, while more people have health insurance in Vermont, I assume they mean than other states, hospitals still see and treat many uninsured people. To what degree are those costs being passed through to those who are insured? Owen, I wonder if you could address that for Donna.
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily direct dollar for dollar. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that hospitals produce revenue. They may own a pharmacy. They may get what's called 340B money. They may have investment money. But certainly the cost that's provided in free care does ultimately get borne out by people providing revenue to the hospitals. And if Medicare and Medicaid are not funding the hospital sufficiently, ultimately, the vast majority of that money would come out of the commercial payers, but it's rather indirect and circular.
And speaking of hospitals, the Green Mountain Care Board is also tasked with approving requests from Vermont hospitals to increase commercial insurance charges, as well as the revenue that they get from patients. When is the Green Mountain Care Board going to make a decision on those requests for this year?
Those will all be done by September 15th. I think probably September 13th this year. We'll vote, and then there'll be written opinions by October 1st.
Okay. And most hospitals, as I understand it, are operating on a deficit right now. They're operating in the red. Does that mean that we can expect some increases to be improved in order to support hospitals, keep them from closing down?
I couldn't speak to what we expect yet this year, just because we're in the middle of the budget cycle process and we haven't finished. So I don't really have any views yet as to what will ultimately end up happening. But we're certainly very, very mindful of the hospital's financial challenges, as well as what happens when there are large increases and the impact on affordability in Vermonters. Mm.
Mike Fisher.
So I think it's important to just pause for a second and say, what does it mean to be in the red? I mean, it means that your spending is more than you're bringing in. So, of course, a piece of that equation is, you know, how much more revenue should we direct to the hospitals? There's another key piece to that question, and that's the spending. Are hospitals as efficient as we need them to be? And ultimately, you know, this all boils down to a basic question. Who's going to write the check for this? You know, can Vermonters afford to pay more? Can we, you know, is there anybody around who's going to bail us out? And, you know, I think the answer to those questions, you know, is a sort of a scary no. You know, we have a crisis on our hand of affordability on all sides for Vermonters and for hospitals and for, you know, our carriers in the qualified health plans. So we're going to be forced to make some pretty tough choices.
Yeah. And it's a really, really tangled knot. I mean, we just got an email from Ruth in Cornwall who says, don't forget, this affects all of us. It's healthcare that's putting our schools out of business and destabilizing our education system. Ruth, of course, is referring to the fact that property tax increases were a big issue this legislative session. They're going up in order to fund our schools. And some of the reasons school budgets are going up is because of the cost of healthcare they needed to pay for their staff. Mike, it's all just so interwoven.
For sure. And it's putting a real drag on the Vermont economy. We recognize that it is the small group. It is the, you know, our small employers. It's the nonprofit sector. who is going to really struggle to afford these rates. You know, we're talking about, just to put a face on it, we're talking about, you know, organizations that are, you know, taking care of our children in our community, or maybe providing support to people who are, you know, have experienced domestic violence. Support structures, as well as businesses that are, you know, making good products that we love, or doing services that support Vermonters, you know, facing a 20%-ish rate increase is unsustainable for them. And those costs come crashing down to us through those services and products. Mm.
Let's go back to our phone lines. We have Dave in Rockingham calling in. Dave, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. I just want to mention that Vermont has many, many veterans that do not take advantage of their health insurance free from the VA, and that includes surgery and everything else. And I have a coordinator for a number of them in this area. And I've met people that are so used to working, for example, in the private sector, and forget that they have the VA because they were in the service. And they were complaining to me that, gee, everything's going up and so forth and so on. And this young lady, she spent 7 years in the Air Force. She ended up in White River. I got her there. She had her DD Form 214, got mm-hmm. her honorable discharge from the military. And the interesting thing was that the VA found so many things that she needed to get done, and she needed surgery, she had cancer, and so forth and so on. And there are a lot of guys who just get caught up in the private sector, family, and forget that they've got these benefits. And we have many, many veterans mm-hmm. in the state, which would also take off the pressure on the private sector.
Yeah, Dave, that's a really good point. Thank you. The Veterans Administration, the VA, a good place to go to if you are a vet, and they have lots of resources there for folks who are in need of health insurance help. Let's go next to April in Milton, who wrote us a question about why healthcare. They want to know why healthcare costs are on the rise, more so in Vermont than elsewhere. That's a point that our reporter Lexi Krupp made earlier in the show. April writes, it seems like Vermont is in a spiral of unaffordability. Owen, with the Green Mountain Care Board, I'm wondering if you could address this. Mike's talked a little bit about this kind of tangle of affordability issues that the state faces. How do you see it?
Well, there's a number of components that go into these rates, some within state control and some without. I would say at a fundamental level, we can look at three things: our underlying cost structure of our system. What does it cost to operate what we have? Number two, I would say the services that we're lacking. What I mean by that is adequate primary care, mental health care, home health, and long-term care. And when we don't have those services in adequate supply, and we do not, it backs up in hospitals and makes care more expensive. And then lastly, I would say the fundamentals of our demographics are an extreme strain on our healthcare costs. So if you look at the fiscal year 25, hospitals are budgeting around a 2-3% rate increase from Medicare and 0 from Medicaid, but operating expenses are 7-8%. And so that shortfall has to be borne, if it's to be borne, by commercial ratepayers. But that number of people, the people paying that commercial, is going down smaller and smaller every year, which makes the rates even higher. Mm. So we have to address the system, we have to address the cost structure, and we have to address our demographics and housing.
One of the points you just made in the middle there about how there is a strain on hospitals because people are going to hospitals for care instead of, say, a long-term care facility. You said that that's one of the reasons why costs are going up. And Mike, I'm wondering if you could help us understand exactly what the connection is between somebody going into the emergency room for care when maybe if they were in another state or another community, they might be in a long-term care facility or another place that could provide those medical supports.
So the long-term care example is a little bit different than the emergency room.
Okay.
You know, somebody goes to the hospital for needing some care, they get stabilized, and they need a placement in a skilled nursing facility. And there is no bed available given their clinical needs. And so the person and hospitals talk to us about this. The person is sitting in a hospital bed, sometimes for way too long, and the hospital is unable to bill because the person isn't meeting the clinical standards for the hospital bed, and we don't have the, you know, the, like Owen just said, we don't have the services available to meet the people's needs. That's the example that we hear from hospitals.
Mm, thank you. Let's go back to the phones. We have Ellen in Middlebury, who's been waiting patiently on the line. Ellen, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? You know, I was wondering, we put aside the idea of publicly financing our health care about 9 years ago. But in countries that have public financing, you cut out those middleman costs, which are about 30% of our current costs. And you also have more cost control because you can directly invest in resources like primary care, which helps to, is good for healthcare, but also helps to keep our costs lower by getting people in, you know, into the system when they're less expensive. And it gives one the ability to globally budget for hospitals. And yet you get lower cost per capita and universal access in those places. So we're in this escalatory spiral of cost now. Might that mean we should go back to looking at the idea we had to publicly finance our healthcare, where we would get so much efficiency and better access? Otherwise, I don't see how you get around where we are now. And I would point out that many decades ago, a province similar to Vermont, Saskatchewan, was in a similar crisis. And that is one of the reasons they went to a publicly financed universal system, because they faced some similar problems in a way that we're seeing here now.
Thank you. Ellen, Mike Fisher, I see you nodded.
Great to hear from you, Ellen. Many people may know that I, in a previous role, played an active role in the push to publicly finance healthcare here in Vermont. But from where I sit right now, I think what we're talking about is a cost problem. What Ellen is bringing up is a real challenge with the way we raise money for healthcare. I'd be the first to say the way we raise money through premiums and having people have to pay out of pocket when they need care is horribly inefficient and should be changed. But I think the problem that we're facing is on the cost side. I look for a day when we're back to discussions with a good partner in the governor's office and in the White House to be able to talk about a Vermont or a national reform of our financing system. But the crisis before us is much more immediate, and I think it's on the spending side.
Owen Foster, the chair of the Green Mountain Care Board, in a statement you released about the rate hikes, you said they represented, and I'm quoting here, deep fundamental failures in our healthcare system and the immediate need for systemic change. What's an example of the systemic change that you believe is needed?
Well, it's going to what Mike just said, which is our fundamental cost problem, right? So I don't think a payment reform or design change can immediately address all that ails us. I think we have to look at the underlying cost structure that we have. And what I mean by that is overlapping, inefficient, underused services and lack of adequate care where we need it. And this goes to the board and the Agency of Human Services Act 167 work for hospital system transformation, to make sure that we're using those dollars in a way that's aligned with our ability to pay for it and our need. So if you look to Vermont's demographics and how we're aging, we don't have adequate memory care or the long-term care that we were speaking about earlier. And so this is an opportunity to make sure that we have the care that we need, given where the state is going from an age perspective. Mm.
Let's try to get to a couple more callers here before we have to wrap up this segment. Arthur in Brattleboro is on the line. Arthur, go ahead.
Hi there. I'm down in Brattleboro. And my question is about, earlier in the program, I forget which one of you mentioned that it's anticipated that for folks who don't have employer-sponsored healthcare coverage, that subsidies will likely kind of keep pace, at least to some degree, with the cost increases, and so I'm kind of wondering what What is a reason that a small business would even consider keeping a health coverage option if their employees might do better by being on the exchange? And what would be the kind of the effect on a big scale for lots of employers changing in that direction?
Vermont Healthcare Advocate,
or is there something
Mike
that I'm
Fisher.
Kind of missing?
No, it's a Arthur. It's a great question, and it's one that we've asked over and over again for a lot of years. I think the complexity of this moment is we have these enhanced premium tax credits that the federal government put into place through 2025, and so we're in a good place for the coming calendar year. It's going to take an act of Congress to extend those rates, and I'll let you hedge your bets as to whether Congress will have the ability to continue them. If they are continued for a number of years or permanently, I think your question really is a good one and one for Vermont employers to consider.
Thanks for calling in, Arthur. Well, from down in Brattleboro to up in Newport, Tom is on the line. Tom, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. We have what I think is a very good local hospital, North Country Hospital, but they're losing their best specialist to New Hampshire. So, for example, I had a urologist, the best one I've ever had, who said he moved to New Hampshire because he couldn't get enough support from the hospital, like a nurse and a receptionist. He was having to schedule appointments, when he should be doing office visits. And then also we lost a very good surgeon, same thing, large family. He got a much better offer in New Hampshire. He still lives in Newport, but he commutes to his office in New Hampshire. So I don't blame the hospital. I don't blame the doctors, but we're losing. I'm driving an hour and a half to see that same urologist because he's the best one I ever had. But we're losing these folks because of budget constraints.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that story, Tom. Owen, is this a concern of yours as well?
It is. We have difficulty recruiting, retaining doctors statewide. I mean, again, as we age, the workforce gets smaller and it's harder to retain our nurses and everyone else. We also have a housing shortage. So we're hearing a lot of stories of doctors coming and being recruited and they can't find a home and they give up their offer and leave. In terms of the financing of it, we have a really hard choice. Do we give 20% rate increases so that the hospitals have the money that they request to pay for all this? Or is that something that we're not willing to do as a state? So we really are in a time of making hard, difficult choices because this has to be paid for one way or the other.
Well, we've set up in this segment what turns out to be a very difficult, harrowing problem with lots of threads to pull out from it. I'm wondering, to help us close out, if you all could each pick out one thing that is coming down the pike, maybe a choice that listeners will have to make in an election, a bill that is going through, a vote from the Green Mountain Care Board, something that people could at least keep track of, if not influence, on one side or the other, that could affect these healthcare costs in our state. Owen Fisher with the Green Mountain Care Board. Let's start with you.
Foster.
Foster and Fisher.
You put our names together.
We can both go at the same time. I would say that it's the board's Act 167 report and work about hospital system transformation that will be out in about 4 weeks that will address some of the underlying cost structures so that we can have a sustainable system and for people to lend their voices and indicate what they support. And I think it's really important to not lose sight that all of these things are interconnected. And what we see with the Blue Cross rates relate to the volume and cost of our healthcare services. And we can't lose sight of that connection.
Thank you. And Mike Fisher Foster, I've married you two now.
I just want to recognize that people hate shopping for health insurance. It feels confusing. You feel like you're being scammed. You feel like you can't win. And so I know when someone like me comes on the radio and says, hey, there's real opportunities for you this year, I know a lot of people roll their eyes. I can't see that through the radio, but I'm sure they do.
I can feel it.
I can feel it. But nonetheless, I think that there really are, this year is different. If you if you've looked at the subsidies in recent years and discovered that you earned a little bit too much, it's going to be time to look at it again.
Mike Fisher is the healthcare advocate for Vermont. Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And Owen Foster is the chair of the Green Mountain Care Board. Owen, thank you so much for making the time.
Thanks, Taylor. Thanks for having me.